Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Right. So this is our very last Zoom service. So we understand. We're back in churches partially, and that's going to evolve and continue. Now, the reason why we're, or one of the reasons we're so low on numbers this morning is that at All Saints Mattishall, they are having a service followed by a meeting of both congregations to have a look at how the church is going to be reordered, and it's going to, if you like, work more effectively. So I think they're there for the morning, and we pray that everything goes well for them. They're talking about having a proper servery and moving the desk where all the computer stuff goes. So that's it. So before we start our service, shall we pray? Lord God, we thank you for this time together, and we thank you that the internet has come to our aid, and we've had all this Zoom facility and services over the last few months, Lord. But as you quite rightly remind us, there's a time and a season for everything. And maybe it's time for the Zoom meetings to come to a close. And we look forward to greeting each other properly in one of the churches or other in the near future. Lord, we thank you for this time together. We pray for the congregations in Mattishall as they seek your will as to the way forward for them. And may everything we do in this service be to your glory and nothing of man. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. And we're now going to sing, How Great Is Our God.
Splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. Trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great. Time is in his hands. Again.
And now we continue with our service. Lord, speak to us.
So that we hear your word.
Move among us.
So that we see your glory.
Receive our prayers.
So that we learn to trust you. Amen.
Amen. And we're going to have a time to say sorry to God for the things that we have and haven't done and haven't said the last few days. What God has prepared for those who love him, he has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything. Therefore, let us in repentance open our hearts to the Lord, who has prepared good things for those who love him. And before we have a communal response, let us have a few moments of quiet where we lift those things to God in our personal situation. We confess to you our selfishness and lack of love. Fill us with your Spirit. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
We confess to you our fear and failure in sharing our faith. Fill us with your Spirit. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
We confess to you our stubbornness and lack of trust. Fill us with your Spirit. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord God, we thank you that when we truly repent, we can turn to you and be so assured that you forgive us. And in that forgiveness, you have forgotten all that we have sinned against you, Lord. In fact, all our sins are just thrown away to the deepest part of the ocean where they cannot ever be reached again. Lord, help us to build our lives on this promise of you. And we thank you from our hearts, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And we're now going to sing Amazing Grace. It's one that, it's a version which is quite long actually, but I thought we could perhaps we'll benefit from a nice long sing and have all the verses of Amazing Grace in there. Thank you, Leroy.
Sweet the sound.
passage for today is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verses 14 to 29. And we all know this. I'm reading from the Message Bible. King Herod heard all of this, for by this time the name of Jesus was on everyone's lips. He said, "This has to be John the Baptizer come back from the dead. That's why he's able to work miracles." Others said, "No, it's Elijah." Others said, "He's a prophet, just like one of the old time prophets." But Herod wouldn't budge. "It's John, sure enough. I cut off his head and now he's back alive." Herod was the one who had ordered the arrest of John, put him in chains and sent him to prison at the nagging of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. For John had provoked Herod by naming his relationship with Herodias adultery. Herodias, smouldering with hate, wanted to kill him, but didn't dare because Herod was in awe of John. Convinced that he was a holy man, he gave him special treatment. Whenever he listened to him, he was miserable with guilt. And yet he couldn't stay away. Something in John kept pulling him back. But a portentous day arrived when Herod threw a birthday party, inviting all the brass and blue bloods in Galilee. Herodias' daughter entered the banquet hall and danced for the guest. She dazzled Herod and the guests. The king said to the girl, "Ask me anything. I will give anything you want." "Carried away," he kept on. "I swear, I'll split my kingdom with you if you say so." She went back to her mother and said, "What should I ask for?" "Ask for the head of John the Baptizer." Excited, she ran back to the king and said, "I want the head of John the Baptizer served up on a platter, and I want it now." That sobered the king up fast. But unwilling to lose face with his guest, he caved in and let her have her wish. The king sent the executioner off to the prison with orders to bring back John's head. He went, cut off John's head, brought it back on a platter and presented it to the girl, who gave it to her mother. When John's disciples heard about this, they came and got the body and gave it a decent burial. This is the word of God. Thanks be to him. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you will speak to us now through that word, all of us, in whatever way we need to be spoken to. Lord, let us hear the message you want us to hear. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. This is a passage, as I said, in Mark's Gospel. And in the last few weeks, we heard about the healing of the woman hemorrhaging, Jairus's daughter, Jesus not being acknowledged by his own, and then sending out the 12. And the sending out of the 12 comes immediately before this passage. And the 12, if you like, were successful because in the power of the Holy Spirit, they were healing and they were preaching the word, the good news of the gospel. Then we have this section before we go to feeding the 5,000. And this section, the death of John, seems to be a bit out of kilter, if you like, out of place, a bit out of context, because it doesn't really centre on Jesus, or does it? We're going to look at the four main characters on the surface before we move to a deeper thought process about what this passage does and might say to us. So I'm going to turn to Herod first. And if you had to describe Herod, how would you describe him? He has lots, this character is really revealed quite a lot in this passage. He was a king. He was powerful. He had his ear to the ground. He heard of Jesus. He held his own birthday party. He invited all the most important, and I have to make it clear here, men. Whichever version of the Bible you read, it's very prim and proper. Let's get it straight. This was a stag party, okay? This was men only. And the dance that Herodias' daughter Salome danced was not a little tap dance to, I don't know, Somewhere Over the Rainbow or an innocuous song. It was a sexually provocative, erotic dance. It wasn't a birthday party with cake and candles. It was something very different. And certainly Herod was drunk, as they all probably were. It tells us that he'd sobered up. They were drunk. They were lecherous. He was proud. He was unwilling to lose face. He was not willing to go back on his over-eager promise, shall we say, to Salome. So he was a man in trouble. He knew there was something about John that he really couldn't grasp, because he was guilty about having John beheaded. He was blinkered that the fact that Jesus, you know, was doing all these things, he wanted to believe it was John. And he was remorseful because he wanted to believe that John had been brought back to life. It was his guilt that was speaking to him. He was not in a good place. He liked listening to John, but he didn't like hearing what he said to him. He didn't like being told that he was an adulterer. But there was something in the truth that Herod just couldn't let go, couldn't grasp, wouldn't grasp, couldn't let go. Well, I heard a quote this week, which is very, very true. If Herod and we are caught up in sin, it takes us to places we don't want to go. It holds us there in that place for longer than we want to stay. And it costs us more than we are really willing to pay. So maybe if we bring that to mind before we decide to sin, that might help us. I don't know, but I thought it was a very true saying. So Herod is a very complex human being, as we all are. The other two, Herodias's ex-wife, or Herodias, Philip's ex-wife, was just full of hatred, vengefulness, vindictiveness. She didn't mind if her daughter danced provocatively in front of all the men. She was capable of using her daughter. But she saw a way to really get rid of John and have him killed, which she did. And she used her daughter like that. And her daughter, Herod's stepdaughter, she was young. She knew exactly what she was doing as she was dancing. Bit of a drama queen, because as far as we know, Herodias only asked for John's head, but the drama queen wanted it on a platter. She was immoral. So between them, Herod, Herodias and Salome were a pretty, pretty dire triumvirate. And then John, almost a bystander in this passage, but yet so much important and part of it. As we read, Herod had imprisoned him because he told Herod the truth. He was committing adultery. And I can only assume that John didn't hold back with the message of the gospel either. He would have taken every opportunity to tell Herod the good news of the gospel, to tell Herod all things, all truths, all roads that lead to Christ. He was persistent and uncompromising in his message. And I think that's very, very important. So where does this leave us? We just go back to the 12 disciples. Jesus has asked us to go and spread the good news and heal. That's unequivocal. That's what we are here on earth to do. And that's what we are here on earth to glorify God with. And there's no doubt there are people out there who are curious about spiritual matters. And it's for us to tell them the truth in a persistent and compromising manner. Now, they may be spiritually blinded, as Herod was. Herod only wanted to believe that it was John the Baptizer who'd killed and come back to life to save him from his guilt. How wrong he was. How wrong he was. Because Jesus is the one who died for us and came back to life 3 days later in the resurrection, so that all who could believe in him would have eternal life. And we would all approach the throne of God knowing that we are forgiven. It is that incredible message that we are being asked to repeat and confirm in a very uncompromising yet persistent way. And I wonder if this passage actually doesn't give us a reminder that although on some occasions, such as the 12 were being successful, sometimes we won't get through to people. Sometimes, despite their curiosity, that we won't, if you like, succeed in making them believe, leading them to believe, and becoming disciples of Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean we don't tell them. It doesn't mean we don't have a persistent and uncompromising message for them. And maybe this passage also reminds us that after the success of the disciples, actually, we're not always going to live a fully victorious life until we get to heaven. That it will be tough at times, that people won't hear what we want them to hear. We have to leave that to God. We can only sow the seeds. And that life, as we all know it, is not always good. We all have our disappointments and struggles. And yet, in our comfortable first world existence, would we be ready, such as John, to give up our lives for Christ? I struggle with that very, very much. Struggle with it. And so we look to the passage, and seemingly Jesus isn't there. He's only mentioned once. But actually, as in all of passages of the Bible, he is there in power. He is there, underlying this whole thread of thought process. He is there. And the thing that brought me up short, really, was that John's disciples heard about his death. And they went back to give John's body a decent funeral. Even that was denied Jesus because all his disciples had fled and left him. He got a decent funeral. He got a decent burial. But it wasn't from the expected few disciples because they were not there. They were living in fear. So it's quite a salutary piece of passage that the lectionary has delivered us today. But it's a very important one. And as you read it, and as I read it, more and more was revealed to me. But the one thing that I know and I am certain of, that Jesus is there. He is in the passage. There is a message to take on board. And yes, our reward, if you like, because there is a reward for following Jesus, is our reward to know that we are following him, that we do seek to do his will and to do his will only and nobody else's, to be uncompromising and persistent in our message. And there we will have that reward, to know with certainty that we will be with Jesus, and that during this eternal life commencing on earth, that we will be forgiven our sins. What a reward. What a wonderful Saviour. Really, really worthy to be praised. Amen. And we now sing the hymn, Nearer, My God, to Thee.
Still, all my songs shall be.
Now, this is where we say together, albeit muted, the Apostles' Creed, where we declare our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, Father God and Holy Spirit. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And we sing again, what a friend we have in Jesus.
What a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus.
Let us pray. Lord, we praise you and thank you for all the blessings that you rain down on us. We thank you for your word. We thank you that your Son, Jesus Christ, suffered, died and was buried, but rose again so that we might know your eternal truth, that all who can come to you and believe in him will have eternal life. That one great promise that we need to tell throughout the earth. Lord, give us the heart and the voice to speak of you often, to speak of you well, and to reflect your glory in everything we do in our lives, so that people see you and not us. They wonder what we have. They wonder why we are so different. They wonder at the message. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, we pray for your world. Keep reminding us that we need to treat it respectfully and that we are indeed stewards for you, Lord. Help us to realise that we need to change our ways and to change them so that our actions may prove fruitful for others throughout the earth. And we pray for those that don't have enough food to eat, clean water to drink, that don't have proper shelter, and those that are persecuted because they believe in you, Lord Jesus. Please help us to see those people and to do whatever we can to help them. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, we lift up to you those friends and family that don't know you. Pause for a while as we bring them to mind. Lord, reveal to us as to how we can plant those seeds of faith in them that the Holy Spirit can water. Lord, there may be some hard nuts to crack there, but we know that in your great power, which is greater than anything we can even start to imagine, that you can crack those nuts. Lord, show us the ways that we can reveal your Son to these people that we've brought to mind. Use us, Lord. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
And Lord, we thank you for these Zoom meetings. We thank you for all that you have done to facilitate these and for the people that make them run to work, and that we can have fellowship on the airwaves, Lord. We thank you so much. And we thank you for all the Zoom services that we've had. And we lift up to you, Lord, the situation as we return to our physical church buildings, that we can once more worship you in your house. And Lord, especially we pray for Mattershall today as they look to ways of serving you best in that village. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, and as for ourselves, may we always seek your will for our lives and to act on the words you give us, Lord, even though they might seem a bit strange at times. Let our faith be increased in you, Lord, as we go out to serve others, to tell people of the good news that the gospel brings, and to heal in your power, Lord, not in ours. And Lord, we pray for ourselves indeed. We do your will in this place. For the relatively short time we have on earth, Lord, let us seek your will, carry out your will, and have as a reward knowing that we do serve a great God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
And Lord, we lift up to those people who we know, Lord, that are unwell in whatever way, whether they be physically ill, mentally ill, spiritually ill, Lord. There are some people that you've laid on our hearts, Lord. We lift them up to you now in a moment of silence as we bring them before you, asking for them to be healed in whatever way is appropriate for them, Lord Jesus. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord Jesus, we lift this time to you, we lift ourselves to you, and we thank you that you are here with us, that you are listening to our prayers, and that you will honour our requests in whatever way is appropriate according to your will. Merciful Father,
accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
And we say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And our final prayer together. In darkness and in light, in trouble and in joy, help us, Heavenly Father, to trust your love, to serve your purpose, and to praise your name through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And the blessing. The God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, establish, strengthen, and settle us in the faith. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. And after we finish singing our final hymn, Blessed Assurance, look forward to having coffee with you afterwards. Thank you, Leroy.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my
Thank you, everybody. If you're not staying for coffee, bless you and have a good week. And I think next week is the Village Green service. So I hope to be there and I hope to see many of you there too. Otherwise, see you in five.